I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl.
Food. It's something we all need, something we all enjoy. Who doesn't love a great meal with friends? Well, there's some concerns about our food supply, the nutrition, that nutritional value, the chemicals they use on our food, even the food in our charitable food system and the regulations and the issues with farmers. So today we'll talk about food. So grab a snack. I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I am Stephanie Coxon, and we are two women inspiring real life. So let's twirl.
Well, Stephanie, food. I know these are some things you and I enjoy a good meal together often.
We do. And I enjoy making fun of you for what you're eating quite often.
I'm not going to start with that. We're just going to talk about, you know, our shared love of having a good meal and having time with friends and so forth. But the food system, there's an awful lot that's coming out in the news about various things in our food system. And I know you've had some concerns or expressed concerns in the past about nutritional value and chemicals and things like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, but it's far wider than that. You know, at this point, I think it's safe to say that we are being poisoned. They're using science to get people to change their, or to have had people change their farming practices that in turn really impact our health. And so why we look and act so sick these days, mentally, physically.
So you're talking about the food that's grown, meaning the farming practices, that how it affects the actual nutritional value of the food.
Yeah. Well, yes, but far more than that.
Right.
I mean, because it's not just the nutritional value that's missing now, but it's also the chemicals that are acting like antibiotics in our system, messing up our gut microbiome, and therefore giving us neurological issues. Or and actually, it's more than that, which we can get into some of that as we go through this. But it's more than just nutrition at this point. We're being poisoned by these extra chemicals in the name of science.
It's something I never thought about too much. I know a few months ago, we had someone on the show here who talked about glyphosates in our food, like Roundup,
yeah,
those chemicals.
Yeah.
And how that impacts, what we get, what we harvest, what we eat. I know we have a friend who's a master gardener, and she said, if you put chemicals on your lawn, it takes 8 years for those chemicals to dissipate from the soil.
Yeah, but let me give people a little hint. Sunflowers are actually really good cleaner flowers. So if you plant your property in sun, and actually what it's famous for, let me clarify this, it's famous for lead, but it's just a general cleaner. But it will actually soak up toxins out of your soil. And then you take them, you bag them up, and let the dumpster handle the rest of it, because they're just sunflowers. But don't burn them. Don't burn them. You'll re-release it, they say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Someone just told me about sunflowers. I love to plant a garden. And that's also, we wanted to talk about this because it's spring. So it's garden time and some of us are planting. I said last year, the birds ate some of my plants and they told me, well, plant sunflowers because it's up higher.
Yeah.
So the birds will peck at that instead of your plants. So
oh, that's a great idea.
For sunflowers.
Yeah, there really are.
That's very good.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's what happens when two people with completely different perspectives
there you go.
Come together.
There you go. Well, you know, so there's that part of our food supply of maybe the dangers with the chemicals and so forth, as you say, that we're being poisoned almost.
Yes, not almost. We are being poisoned.
We are being poisoned.
Don't undersell it, Kathy.
Okay.
We are being poisoned at this point.
Well, there's other issues. It's like which one to tackle first.
That's true.
So another issue is about the control of farmers and what's happening with farmers. And I'd like to say, from our two perspectives, I work and operate a food bank, and Stephanie has a natural health practice.
So. Yeah, where I try to get people to change their life through, because food is your number one healer. I mean, honestly, because
food is medicine.
Food is medicine. That's exactly like our Heal Right bars. Food
yes.
is medicine.
Yes.
That's I love that. Whenever I saw that, when they're like, try these, that's what I loved. I'm like, yes, this is what we're talking about. And I'm still enjoying them and the results of them.
That's great. I know that's, they are, you should take one every day.
Well, so I've changed it. I've changed it. Yes.
You're eating four every day?
No, but I would if I could.
Okay.
No, I decided because at first I was eating one bar, like one time a day, whenever just for breakfast. But now it's like whenever I feel like I need a little bit of a snack, I take half the square and I divide it up in between two different times.
That's what I've been doing.
And yes.
Yeah, yes.
And I swear, I don't know if this is in my head or not, but I swear I feel more fulfilled when I do that. I don't need to continue to snack. Like I don't know if it's a mental thing, because usually one little square doesn't do that for me. Like what you call an abundance eater. I eat an abundance of food. It just happens to be really good food, which is why I'm not 300 pounds.
This is the honest to goodness truth. And we did not talk about this before we went live on the air here. I just said to my husband this weekend, I eat a little square in the afternoon at work.
Yeah.
And it seems I'm not hungry. Like I'm okay
yeah.
for dinner versus walking around looking for something else to eat.
Right, which is dangerous for you because you're working at a food bank. There's
we have a lot of snacks around, yes, because we have a lot of volunteers. So yes, that is definitely something good to put in our bodies, the Heal Right
bars. Yeah, and I literally am feeling different from them, which is hard for me because I tend to eat pretty well overall.
You do.
And I could tell a physical difference within a week. I don't even know if it's a full week, but I could tell a physical difference within a week. So it's impressive.
Well, and that's my friend who has helped me lose weight, and I've mentioned that numerous times, always says eat nutrient dense food. Eat
yes.
food and nutrient dense food. And that's something I try. So certainly the Heal Right bars. But
and you get a discount with them if you call. If you go to America Out Loud shop.
Yeah, she is very excited about this. I know you can't see her right now, but
I am.
She is so excited. We sit here next to each other and she's just very excited.
Because it gets better and better each week with these things. I kid you not. I do need to call the company and find out if I need to like not have extras though, because every once in a while I will eat
more
than one bar. Just one. I mean, not five, just two bars in a day.
Yeah, you need to have balance in all things.
Yes.
So nutrition is one part of aspect of our food, but also the thing that concerns me a lot is the control that we see or seem to be seeing with the government trying to put their little talons into farm issues and farming and agriculture. I looked up a statistic still, and this is a good thing, 98% of agriculture in the United States are farms, are family farms.
Yes.
So they are owned by families and people that we know growing food for us. But all throughout, and it's not just in the United States, even probably over in Europe and so forth, things are getting a little dicey. If you look up China, the Netherlands, Italy, France, or not China, I'm sorry, France, Spain.
Did you say Netherlands?
Yes. Yeah. So all of these countries, farmers are protesting because they're being told to not farm or to not, grow cattle or whatever because of, quote unquote, the environment. And that is concerning to me. I saw the Dutch said, this is the word, they have all of these problems with nitrogen emissions because of so much intensive farming. That to me is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, because intensive farming is what feeds us.
Correct.
And
has fed us for thousands of years.
Yes. And farmers are the ones that know how to grow the food, what to grow the food. And when government gets involved, a lot of things can go wrong.
Yes.
So I looked, the worst famine in history. Do you know what it was?
China.
Yes.
Yes.
It was in China. When the communists came into power, Mao Zedong, over 20 million people died from this famine. And I've heard this before. And the reason it was because the government started to have this thing called their Great Leap Forward, where they wanted to produce steel.
Yeah.
So they told the farmers, no more farming. We're going to push you into these cities and we're going to produce steel. So they stopped farming. And then guess what happened when people didn't farm?
Well, I guess when you don't farm, there is no food.
That is correct.
You know, I find it odd that our lovely, very lovely Congress people,
yes,
cannot be forward thinking and not see this. I don't know where the stupidity lies. Is it the lack or the ignorance of history? Is it the lack of critical thinking that's not been taught in our schools at this point? So I look at us, I mean, I hate to say this, I look at us as the movie Idiocracy. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
I mean, basically, they're trying to water their plants with Gatorade and they don't understand why anything grows, and they're all wearing Crocs. I feel like that's where we're at in life right now.
That's the we're all wearing
We're
Crocs.
all wearing Crocs and trying to do anything but water.
I'm a little offended because I do wear Crocs when I'm in my garden, ironically.
Well, I mean,
I just am saying.
stupidity has no bounds.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just
Now it's getting
joking.
personal.
No.
But this thing in
I too have
China,
Crocs.
but you're right. When you look, history is our teacher, and you
It
would think
is.
we'd learn. So this thing in China, when they had the famine, not only did that occur, but so then they realized, oh no, we don't have enough food. So the government said, well, you need to plant more stuff closer together. And they felt that the birds ate too much, so they put a premium on killing the birds. Well,
Oh,
guess what
wow.
happened? Obviously, when you farm, you have to thin things out so it can grow. So
Yes.
that didn't help. This is government telling these farmers what to do.
Well, and the birds drop the seeds and help to spread things.
Well, and the birds weren't there, so they also didn't eat the bugs.
Oh, and that's
So,
all sorts of birds are
yes.
good things.
So I say this because that's what happened. 20 million people died. It's considered the worst famine in history. And
Even
here,
next to the Irish, the potato famine.
I don't know. I looked it up and they said the Chinese, because 20 million people in that time, 30 to 45 million people died. They don't, how many were from famine and just the
Right.
persecution and so forth and disappeared under the communist leadership. But it's concerning then when you see this movement across the United States and Europe and so forth to tell farmers what to do. Because obviously you have people that had no knowledge of that. And my
Right.
grandfather was a farmer and I love gardening. So when you have people that have no knowledge saying, here's what you do, here's what you plant. And I even said Biden had said, we'll get to a point, this is so some time ago, to be able to tell farmers what to do, when to plant, whatever, what to
Yeah.
plant. And I'm like, oh boy.
But it goes beyond this. I don't know that people realize that right now air rights are coming up as, and I don't know where
What
it's
is
gone.
that, air
Air
rights?
rights, like they're trying to sell the rights of the air above your farms.
To do what? To fly or just.
No, to control. So if you have so basically that methane gas or whatever, the
From the
CO2
cow
to,
farts,
I
yeah.
mean, they'll be able to control it if you don't buy your own air rights. I have to dig into it a little bit further. I just learned about it not too long ago, but it's something that everyone needs to start looking into. But so you have that, and then you have the rainwater runoff, right? So you have certain states where they can actually tax you for the amount of rainwater that comes off of your property.
Yes, and for the manure that your animals produce, that's another thing they measure.
Yes, and in some states you're not even allowed to use rain barrels, so you're not even allowed to recycle the rain to water your stuff. So it's really interesting how deep this is getting. It's like this slow frog boil, where you don't know you're getting boiled, and now they're buying up all their farmland. So we're getting very close to not having access to food based on what the government is doing.
And I totally agree. I was summer of 2022 visiting a farm auction in central Pennsylvania. We live in central Pennsylvania, which is very rich in
Don't tell
farmland.
people where we live. There's
We
people who
live
hate us.
in Missouri.
Yes.
I
Yes. Find us in
misspoke. Yeah,
California. Yeah.
California, Missouri, or Texas. We move around.
Yeah.
But
No, not the red states, not the
no,
red
never
states.
mind mine. We were, but I was visiting a farm because, again, my job is a works in a food bank. So I was with a state representative at this farm auction, and we went out to lunch after visiting the farm auction because we were there to look to see what we might be able to get for the food bank,
Right.
excess and so forth. And I said to him, I've heard this adage, he who controls energy controls countries, he who controls food controls you, a people.
Yes.
And I said to him, here's what I think is happening, that the government's trying to control us, to control our, and I went through all this stuff and I said, but I sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, like you said, the regulations, and so forth. And he looked at me and he was, again, he's a state representative, but also very much in the agriculture arena and is a farmer himself. And he said, you are exactly correct. That is what's happening.
Oh, I hate when people confirm it who have
I know.
expertise. That's awful.
I thought I was going a little batty. And he said, no, that is what's happening. And exactly what you had said, like controlling, it's making farmers hard for them to operate because, they have to do these regulations, measure the water and measure the manure and all this stuff.
Right.
And he said, it's typically people giving them the regulations, monitoring it, who have actually never grown anything.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. is, so we, you know, we have a farm, a pretty high acreage farm,
But not in central
but
Pennsylvania.
not in central Pennsylvania,
Yep. Anywhere but,
California,
yep.
anywhere but.
Okay.
And the ag lady actually said to my husband that she thinks something nefarious is up.
Is that right?
She did. Yeah. And I'm not going to go into details because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it's not good.
Right. You
Yeah.
have farmers who are paid not to farm.
Yes. And very high dollar. So like in Pennsylvania, in
Where we do not
which we
live.
do not live. No,
Yes.
but I'm just
If
referencing
you want to come find
Pennsylvania.
us, yes,
Yes.
but go ahead.
But within that Amish country, some of that farmland that the government was willing to pay over $600 an acre, where normally they're getting like $100 an
To not
acre to
farm.
not farm. Yes. So there's some weird things that are happening. And that's why people need to get into their backyards, need to learn container farming, need to learn how to sustain your family. Even if it's not perfect, like just start learning how to do it because we may get to a point, that it is necessary for survival, to be quite frank.
I agree. I have a garden in my backyard. We live in a suburban neighborhood. My husband has expanded my garden. I'm this close. I'm showing you little fingers together here of,
Yes.
I'm going to turn the whole backyard into a garden.
I saw pictures.
Yes, but our friend, again, who's a master gardener, last year encouraged me with what you mentioned, that container garden.
Yes.
So I had in the front of my house, again, nice suburban development, but in the front of my house, a dozen buckets and bags.
I saw.
Yes, and they didn't look bad.
Basically, you can snack as you walk up her sidewalk.
That is correct. I was shocked, though, the amount of food that I was able to produce in these bags: squash and herbs and kale and broccoli and tomatoes and peppers and all of this kind of stuff, and even freeze, that I'm
Yeah.
eating now from last year and replanting them. So it is amazing, regardless, even if you live in an apartment with a balcony, you can plant something.
Yes. And they, I mean, the plants are fairly prolific if you are getting organic plants. And, it does take a little bit of practice. If
Yes.
you're like me, I kill most plants. So maybe you need to call a friend if you have issues like I do. I
Yes.
call my husband, but, get a call a
Yes,
friend
it is
person if
good to
you have a
have.
black thumb.
Yes, it is helpful to have someone else to help you. And because of our quest to eat organic, as you mentioned, you have
Wait,
control.
wait, wait,
What?
wait. Hold on. Did you just say you have a quest to eat organic?
I said
What?
because of a grow. Didn't I
Wait,
say growing
wait.
quest?
We are 6 months into this, and
Into the
you,
show.
into this show, and you are coming over to the organic side. Can you just, I just need to hear that one more time.
I don't feel we need to repeat ourselves because we have limited amount of time that we have to discuss a lot of things. So I
Kathy,
don't feel
this
we
is
need to revisit
momentous.
this.
Momentous.
However, as I was saying, when you do grow your own food, you have control over what goes into the soil, what
Yes.
you put on the plant, and so forth. And I would just like to add, because she can't help herself and she needs to hear this, starting in April, I subscribed to a CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture, an organic farm in our area, which I'll be getting an organic share of food every week from them, from that farm.
If you liked a hug, I would totally hug you right now.
I know. I had to say it. It's my confession, but it feels good. And that's the other thing, to support your local farmer.
I hope
That is important to me.
Zen Honeycutt is listening to this and like is jumping up and down because she was a huge push in this for you, I
She was
think.
our, what is it,
Glyphosate.
glyphosate thing. Yes. And I have, I hate to even say it because it's just like she's winning so many wins today. I've been checking labels for that bioengineering stuff,
You're kidding.
but not 100%. I like Hellmann's mayonnaise. I'm not giving that. It's bioengineered with something, but I can't do everything. Okay. But anywho, so that growing your own food is important, supporting your own local farmer. And as you said about, there's some things going on that don't seem right. I looked up some statistics. Mr. Bill Gates owns about 250,000 acres of farmland. Do you know who owns that same amount?
Who?
The country of China
In the US.
in the US. So China and Bill Gates own about as much farmland, or he's the largest single farmland owner in the United States, according to the information I found. Other folks who are equally as lovely. Ted Turner owns 2 million acres of land. Jeff Bezos owns 420,000 acres of land. Now,
What do you
not
think they're gonna
necessarily farmland, but why do you think they're so interested in buying this up.
Yeah, what do they plan on doing with this land?
Well, Mr. Gates says absolutely nothing. He's just doing it as a good investment, and he has other farmers farming it. He's just the landlord. But I don't know. When Bill Gates gets involved in buying up land and all his other things that he's into, I get a little concerned.
Well, I have a confession. He's not my favorite.
No, me neither. So, you know, those are, again, we're just saying these are things, if you're not aware of this, you need to be, because we just think there's something up and something that is happening that we need to pay attention to. And you mentioned having a your own garden.
Yes.
Do you know that the USDA or Department of Agriculture ask people to register their backyard gardens?
I was aware that they have been asked that. They also want you to register any ducks or chicks you get from the store.
I heard that.
Yeah. Which I promptly reprimanded my husband for automatically doing that. I said, who cares if they get sick? We'll just kill them off if they get sick. We don't need the government coming to tell us that
oh,
our
great.
Chicks are sick.
Now you angered someone from PETA.
Probably.
Who could find us where we live in California.
Yes.
There we go.
Please come find us at the governor's mansion in California.
Correct.
We're planting there.
But I hope
with
that
Mr. Newsom,
if anybody is listening and says, oh, I think that's a good idea, I'm going to register my backyard garden with the government. I don't think that's going to happen with me. You going to tell them what you're planting?
I didn't even tell them when I got COVID. No, no.
And why would they want to know that? So these things, I always, you know, when we say this, why would Bill Gates be buying up farmland? Why do they increase these regulations? Why do they want to know what you're planting in your backyard or what chickens you're raising? You know, if they were really, to me, it just, it doesn't sound good for our future.
It doesn't. The more that they get involved, the more they can control, the more that we are in trouble as a society. And, you know, and as a matter of fact, look, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm probably going to have the FBI knocking at my door tomorrow. But quite frankly, where's our tax money going? We pay more and more and more in taxes. And what are we getting? We're getting, you know, complete disastrous results from our government.
Right. Government schools. We've talked about that.
Like, why am I
times.
Allowing my tax money? I think all of us, like, if everyone would just quit paying taxes until these yahoos get themselves together. Like,
that's what you're advocating, a massive tax revolt. I have my check to write out for income taxes.
I'm just
so
saying,
you're
if
saying
we
I don't
get
have to write that out.
Every single person would just be like, screw it. Until you guys get your act together and actually do what you're supposed to do, we're not going to pay for any more illegal immigrants. We're not going to pay for any more of these social programs that are taken advantage of. Like, let me give that money to my community, to people I know could actually use it, because that's who I want to give it to. I'm very generous. I don't hold back giving, but I want to help people who actually need the money, not who the government decides. I don't want to fund any of these research studies that are fraudulent. I don't want to fund the Department of Education and the Department of Agriculture. I want to go back to basics. We don't, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's where I'm at.
No, I agree.
But yes, I will be writing my check in case anyone is listening.
Yes,
yes.
Because
unless 100, you know, unless a good amount of people call me and say, I will join in with you.
On your protest movement?
On my protest movement. Then, you know, if we can get like a million of us all together and say, yes, we are no longer going to do this until you guys get your act together, I'm in.
Okay. Well,
but otherwise, IRS, I am writing a check.
All right. Let me know when you hear that, because, yeah, I'll be involved as well. So we need to take a break.
Yep. And come back and let's talk about
some more things to talk about, the food supply and even the charitable food system, which I know about really well, and some things to be concerned about.
America Out Loud is the best place to get your news and hear different podcasts on a daily basis. Join us on all the major apps, learn more about us, and subscribe.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's foreign protein cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to americaoutloud.shop. That's americaoutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we've talked a little bit about the controls we're seeing with the farmers. We've talked about some nutrition. I feel like we probably have more to say about the nutritional value of our food. But even something that I've seen, I work again in a food bank, and you kind of said this as we were going out for break, that, you know, you like to give, but you like to know where that money goes.
Yes.
And I'm the same way, because, you know, you should check out. I just say I work for nonprofit. So a piece of advice, if you're giving to a nonprofit, check where your money goes. See if the nonprofit truly has the values that you have.
And I personally will no longer give to a nonprofit that accepts state or federal funding.
Well, yes, I would say that's true. But there are, that might be a little harsh to say, if it funds a large portion of their budget, you can still, there are state grants and so forth for certain opportunities and tax credit programs. I have no problem with that.
Okay, well, yeah, tax credit program, yes. I don't have a problem with.
And there are positive state or government grants, but if a charity is getting the lion's share of their funding from government programs, you might want to check that out. Because with that, I don't know if you're aware of this, Stephanie, when you take government money, there are strings attached. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, that's why I won't donate. I'm harsh.
Yes.
So I'm harsh.
So there are, and certainly, like, as we talk about food in the charitable food movement, there are national affiliations and so forth. And a lot of that, the charitable food system is really a government program. I mean, I'm all about, there are a lot of people who, especially with high inflation, are struggling.
Yes.
Because food prices as a percentage of a family's budget are at a 30-year high, meaning people are spending more of their dollars they earn on food and basic necessities like shelter and utilities than they have for decades.
Yes.
And that seems, I mean, I don't think I have to. The president of the United States, or the gentleman that I refer to as the White House occupant, said that the food inflation is there because stores and grocery stores are just gouging people.
I'm going to say that is probably not true.
That is correct. You would be correct. That is not the case. But people are struggling. So you and I said we're charitable people. And I think a lot of people, Americans especially, are. We want to help people. But so much of that charitable food system is government control. And then with that, those strings, are, for instance, there's a lot of hostility towards faith. And they say it in terms of, okay, if you get food or if this food bank gives food to this food pantry, they can't proselytize. Well, that food pantry might be a church. Now, proselytizing can be a lot of things. It's very ambiguous, but that could be, hey, you can't pray with people or invite them to your church or whatever. Not try, you know, you have to sign here to say you're part of our church or you made a profession of faith to get food. So there are a lot of limitations. And also those food banks charge the pantries and the programs for the food they get. So what I say here, regardless of how it all operates, there's a lot of government control on the charitable food system and creating dependency. And if people are dependent on the government, is that ever a good thing?
No, because once you're dependent on them, they can tell you what you need to do in order to receive whatever it is you need.
Right.
You know, there's always strings attached. Nothing is free. It doesn't work that way. Nothing is ever free. And I think that as Americans, we need to be as self-sustaining as possible. I myself refuse to accept any government dollars for any reason. During COVID, didn't apply, like nothing.
Well, and that's a lot of charities took a lot of that government COVID money.
Yeah.
It was coming, it was being dumped out by dump trucks on, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh no, we can't fund our budgets because that money dried up. And
right.
That's what happens with government money. It dries up. So you have these issues with strings attached and faith restrictions. And the food bank I work for does not have that. We are independent from these national affiliations and government programs that would limit faith. But that's one thing. But the other thing is, and I don't know, what do you think and nationally, how much of our food supply do you think goes to waste percentage-wise? Take a guess.
Oh, goodness. Based on what I see at restaurants and stuff, it's got to be a pretty high percentage, 60%.
Well, not that high, but okay. 40%.
That's still significant. I that's what I meant. I did the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, you saw what happened there. Yes, 40% is what I meant.
That's very good. Okay, yes. So you were really saying 60% we consume and 40% goes to
waste. Correct.
So yes. Thank you. Oh, this is what I deal with, ladies and gentlemen. But 40% goes to waste. And a lot of it, as you mentioned, restaurants and homes and so forth, but there's also truckloads. So the food bank, and here's an example. The food bank that I work at in this fall got a truckload of apples. We try to get most of our food by rescue. So what that means is like manufacturer produces too much of one kind of cereal or it was a seasonal thing and, you know, they can't sell it. They can't sell red and green Cheerios, you know, in April. So we go get it and then we
is that a real thing? Red and green Cheerios? You know,
that's some type of cereal.
Okay.
There are
just questioning, yeah.
Cereals. We're not getting into what, you know,
toxins.
We're still people need to eat and we get what we can versus it going to a landfill, it's going to people in need. So we're just changing course here a little bit. But we try to rescue that food. But this fall, we got a truckload of apples. Do you know how many truckloads of apples were available for people or for us in any food bank to take? Take a guess.
I have no idea.
Go ahead. Just guess. Truckloads. Tractor trailer.
50?
You wouldn't even be close. And you're not going to worm your way out of this incorrect guess. 1,500.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wait, within Pennsylvania or across?
Around.
The country?
We work with national and brokers and stuff.
Okay.
But 1,500 truckloads of apples.
Why?
Excess, overabundance. And that's what I say. I mean, when I say there are things not right, you know, but they're all, and we get that this week, past week, we got 10,000 pounds of potatoes. Now we do that. We go get that so we can give it to people in need.
Is this fresh potatoes or?
Yes, the apples were fresh. And I mean, and it takes a lot of work. So I know that there are some bleeding hearts that are like, let's just go get all the food and rescue it and give it to the people. Well, it takes some effort to take one truckload of apples and bag it up and give it to a pantry that gives it to people.
Right.
So can you imagine 1,500?
No.
So there's food that's available, but here's another situation that is happening. So because so much of the charitable food system is government money, a lot of these food banks are just buying food. They're not even trying to do this rescue. And there are brokers, people that have popped up, and this has always happened, but even increasingly so, they know that there's opportunity that these food banks have millions of dollars to spend. So they go buy the food and sell it to the food banks.
Wow.
Now, in some cases, they're like rice you can't get. It's very hard to get in quantities. But to me, that all just, you know, and they call me all the time. But to me, that's a concern, again, because the government's controlling the surplus. And it's actually decreased donations because, and I'm not blaming anyone, the brokers have found a business opportunity, again, created by the government,
right,
that limits donations and then makes it concerning to what's happening and how people are getting that food. What do you think?
Well, like everything else in life, the government is to blame.
Well, and I just think when the government gets involved, like China, you know, they got involved and created a famine. Here we have government telling farmers what to do and then even getting their hands very big way into the charitable food system with people that aren't earning enough to buy their own food or, you know, are taxed or having difficulties getting their own food. And they're beholden to the government and they're controlling this. So I don't know. It starts to make you, when you hear all this between Bill Gates, farmers, regulations, it starts to make it a little concerning, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're being led towards a famine.
That could possibly be. I mean, I can't believe the government would want to harm us.
No. I mean, that's crazy.
I'm sure they have our best interest at heart.
Never mind the 973% increase in heart issues within the Marines from the COVID jab. I mean, so clearly they have our best stake.
Yes.
In mind.
Yes. And you had mentioned, so this is just supply, charitable, the nutrition value of the food. I think you've mentioned to me in the past, you've actually tested different things, haven't you, to see that things...
Yes, I love to test my fruits and vegetables. People think I'm a little bit crazy, but you can, there are tools you can use, refractometers and stuff that you can use to look at the nutritional density of a piece of food. And what that does is it tells you which foods you're going to get more value from because
like the same piece of produce in different,
yep, from different
ways,
from different farms. But, you know, when you look at, for example, I think it's broccoli, it takes like 25 cups of broccoli. Now don't quote me on this because I believe it's 25 cups of broccoli compared to one cup of broccoli in the 1950s to get the same nutritional value. So we're pretty low density, which is why vitamins are so important for us. However, we have a whole nother issue when it comes to vitamins because we have a lot of the major pharmaceutical companies buying up those vitamin companies and they're using synthetic forms that are not great for us. So we have, you know, it just seems like there's less and less solutions. There's very, you know, it's just becoming less that you could do nutritionally to help yourself unless you're super careful and you're, you know, you're a researcher that really figures out who owns what, down to the cheese. I mean, Pfizer, I think, owns the patent on rennet that they use to make your cheese. Did you know that?
I did not. Anytime you say the word Pfizer, I get concerned about anything.
Well, we should all be concerned, you know, because it's at every single level down to, you know, finding aluminum in your shredded cheese. So you're really being accosted at every point in your life. And this isn't, you know, we're not even talking about the fast to market products in order to get more money. And these small companies, food companies that are trying to do it correctly, pretty quickly get bought up by the larger food companies. So most of your breads come from only like three different companies, even the ones you think are good. They're small brands that were once small brands were bought up by major companies.
You know, it's funny you say that because just last week, someone came in, she owns a small food manufacturing company locally. And she was dropping off some donations, excess and products she's discontinuing and brought them into the food bank. And she said, I asked her how business was, and she said it was really good. She's actually going up to the next level. And now that the next level, the USDA gets involved, and she said the amount of regulations.
Oh, boy.
Yes, is increasing. And she said it's just so cumbersome. And so you're exactly right. It's ironic that I just heard that from someone last week. And she makes an excellent product, a pure, wonderful product. Products. So,
but the problem is once they get involved, you really don't want the meat from those USDA places anymore because they're washing them down with stuff in order to adhere to FDA, USDA practices.
Well, and I think also they make it almost impossible that I was talking about that representative I saw at the auction, or the farm auction 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a farmer and so forth. He was talking about to have your beef go to a USDA certified whatever, slaughter and processing, they have to be there to see the demise of every animal, a USDA yeah. inspector. And he was explaining that that's just impossible, you know, because there's yeah. thousands, millions, tens of thousands of animals. So a lot of the farmers go, and also there's a waiting list and so forth. So they go around that to go to non-USDA certified places. But again, it's to putting those burdens on them that it makes it almost that they say, forget it. I'm not going to farm. Or those small food producers, as you mentioned, who are like, I'm either going to sell out to the bigger guys,
right,
or I'm just going to quit. And then that decreases our food supply even more.
So the overall theme, again, is government is horrendous.
When government gets involved, yes, things go worse. And I think that's a common theme that we've had on here.
Pretty much.
And
so when do you think the liberals are going to wake up to this? Just throwing it out there. I don't understand where they think that government is saving them exactly. That's what I struggle to understand.
Well, I think, you know, when you create, we're talking about it, there's so many people who are dependent, and the government programs foster and encourage dependency as opposed to self-sufficiency. So you got to think about it. A lot of the liberals, quote unquote, you know, if they become dependent on these programs, look, during COVID, the government told them and they all just blindly said, we're going to go do this. We're going to go, you know, do whatever restrictions, stay away from our families, lock ourselves in our homes, put a helmet on our kids, you know, because someone told them to. And that goes back to something else you said, the critical thinking. So I don't know when they're going to wake up to this. And if they're dependent on that government to eat, they're going to keep following, you know, where they're getting their nourishment from, quote unquote.
There is no nourishment in boxed foods.
Well, and that's, you know, when you said that about like the nourishment, like the broccoli, you know, it's lost its nutritional value as compared decades ago. Why do you think the government would want us to be sick and unhealthy? Do you think that's a thing?
Well, I think when we are sick and unhealthy, the pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money because we're showing up at their clinics getting their drugs.
I was hoping that's where you would go, because that's exactly what I was thinking. And it starts to, when you think of these things, it all seems to go together, doesn't it?
It well, either that or you're just a crazy conspiracy theorist.
I definitely become that. And I say that, you know, while we talk about food, when people come in the food bank, I give them a tour. I always say, keep your homes well stocked. Did you know the normal grocery store?
Well, your government, your national government tells you to keep your homes well stocked in case of an emergency.
Well, they say for like 72 hours. I'm talking about keep your home stocked beyond and ready, because the average grocery store has a 3-day supply of grocery. And look what happened.
So rob the grocery stores first if anything goes down.
Well, I'm not saying
I feel like that.
If you prepare and plan accordingly, then you are prepared for if something bad happens. And that could be, I'm not saying, you know, the apocalypse, which is probably going to happen. You know, we're just waiting for
that. Oh, that the road you're going down.
Yes. But prior to, we're not going to get into the apocalypse, but even a tornado or an earthquake or a natural disaster, if you can't get to the store, you should be prepared, and your home should be prepared.
And being that we live in California, yes, and correct. We may fall off the ocean floor, you know, yes. Not fall off the ocean floor, but go yes. down to the ocean floor
yes.
is a problem.
But it's just a very basic tenet of being self-sufficient.
You know, I've been hearing that argument since I was born in the 70s.
About being self-sufficient?
About California falling off.
Well,
I'm still waiting.
I don't know.
It wouldn't be a bad thing with Newsom there. I mean, just throwing it out there.
We have a lot of, again, I do this just about every show. I apologize to anyone who's living in California, where we live, of course, you know, may be offended by what Stephanie just said. But, you know, back to, it is important to prepare, take care of your family, grow what you can, and do what you can to eat healthy. For your health, correct?
Absolutely, for your health. Can I just explain a couple things?
Yes.
That most people don't understand, because everyone is going crazy, you know, over this gluten thing. Everyone's allergic to gluten,
yes.
you know, sort of thing. And from my perspective, yes, there are gluten allergies, but no, most of us really should not be eating gluten. And there's several reasons.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to bow out of this one, but please continue.
Well,
I'm not giving up my gluten, but go on.
Okay. Well, so maybe you just choose a different type.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just talk about breads in general, because okay. by the time you get your average loaf of bread, whether it's from your artisan deli counter bread or the prepackaged stuff that's on the shelf, you know, they're using these bleached flours. And the chloride in them creates a chemical reaction with the chlorophylls. What's the one of the chemicals? I can't think of it off the top of my head. If you ask me on a different day, I'd tell you. Okay. But creates a chemical reaction that then produces the chemical they use in research to induce diabetes in mice. And so this quick to market stuff is causing us as humans to have all sorts of health issues, including blood sugar regulation issues and different things. So that's number one. The second thing is they're also having to add back in all the vitamins to it. So you're getting synthetic vitamins.
So when they say it's fortified,
it's right. So okay. If it's fortified, 44% of the population has a negative impact from that.
Wow.
Their bodies cannot handle that. So these same people, were they to eat a whole food diet, would feel like a completely different person within 2 weeks just by getting rid of these processed foods because of all these fortified items that are in them. And take a look at your general cereals or whatnot. These are basically chemical concoctions where you don't know half the stuff that's in them. Like, we've got to start reading labels and trying to understand what these ingredients are and know that, you know, corn is a big one, and it's what they use to fatten animals up before they go to slaughter, right? That's why we feed animals corn, is because it gives us nice big animals and very fatty animals if you're looking for a ribeye. And our bodies don't digest corn. But yet when you look at your pickles, distilled vinegar, white distilled vinegar, corn, xanthan gum, corn, cornstarch, corn syrup, corn. Almost all of your products have corn in it. And then we wonder why we have such a weight issue within the U.S.
You know, when you were talking about feeling different, better health concerns with food, and I think you said it earlier, food as medicine.
Yes. Xanophils. It's xanophils.
Okay.
That's the chemical.
You just thought of it. Okay.
Yes.
I will say, before I lost weight, which I've talked about numerous times, I was pre-diabetic, and my blood glucose numbers have gone down, I don't know, 30, 40 points, you know, because of just from changing and exercising more and so forth. And I feel completely different. And it does affect your everyday life, but it also affects your, and tell me if I'm wrong or not. Well, I know I'm right because you've told me this, but it affects the likelihood of if you're going to get ill with something like a COVID or whatever, if you're healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
And eating right?
Yes. Well, think about it. If your body is constantly consuming toxins, which with every bite of processed food, it is, right? And your kidneys are working overtime to filter things out. Your liver's working overtime to be that gel for those toxins. So if your body is having to concentrate on those things, it cannot concentrate on other things. And so the cleaner you eat, the healthier you will be. But it even extends beyond that, because mentally, our mental health plays a large role in how we feel. I mean, you can literally, there's a reason that in a long time in Japan, they would not tell someone if they had cancer or not, because it'd lead them mentally down that road of cancer, and it would kill them faster than the cancer would. Like, there literally are things that that contribute to our mental health. And one of those is simply the inflammation that happens from our foods, the glyphosate that acts like an antibiotic within that micro, that gut biome, right? That is whenever your gut your gut microbiome is off, your mental faculties are going to be off because it acts like an antibiotic. And so you're disrupting that whole thing. 80% of your serotonin comes from your gut. It is considered your second brain. So, you know, changing your lifestyle in general is the number one thing you can do to feel better mentally, feel better physically, and be able to keep illnesses at bay. Like, literally, it's all to your food. It's just the start.
So, I mean, mental health, and that's could be a whole nother show just with what struggling with and so forth. And I have to admit, when I read the news or hear some of the things going on, I can get a little down, or I get
that's why I don't read the news anymore.
I know. Well, I know, but I get like that, like what's I use. So it's very important to stay mentally healthy and mentally strong. I have a friend who's in personal training and so forth, and she always says, you want to feel strong. And that's physically, mentally, spiritually.
Yes.
You know, you want to be strong. And because when you're hearing these things or when you're confronted with these things, whether it's government, disaster, illness, whatever, that you have put yourself in the best possible place to withstand it.
Hey, you know, you brought up spirituality. Can I share a story with you? I recently, do you ever read those near-death experiences?
It's not like you don't read the news, because I sometimes am kind of like,
Okay, well, let me tell you about this near-death experience that I read about recently. There was a lady that was in a car accident, and she left her body, and she was watching the scene, and she said she saw five cars back, like light arcs coming out of the car, and like it was someone praying. So she memorized the license plate. The lady came back to, after she recovered from the serious car accident, went and found out who the person was in the car and asked her if she was praying for her. In fact, she was.
That's a good story.
Isn't that a good story?
Yes.
I mean, that's spirituality. That's huge.
No, I firmly believe in the power of prayer. I mean, I'm a person of faith, so I get through it. When I talk about the mental, like I get a little like buggy about some of this stuff. What I always remind myself, I know who wins in the end.
Yeah.
So I feel a whole lot better about
this. But doesn't that story, yeah, like that's why when like someone asks you to pray, like just get there and start praying for them.
Oh, and that, I mean, there are stuff, even if you're someone listening or someone that is not a person of faith, prayer and believing in something bigger than yourself has a whole lot to do with health and mental health and even physical health.
And in the natural health field, it's like 30% of what you are, like how you're feeling, how you're doing your life and everything else, like physically, mentally, like all of that makes a difference in your overall health.
Well, and that goes, since you told that story, I'm going to tell a story.
Oh, great.
Well, no.
You have to one up me.
No, because as we talk about this, like spiritual matters and so forth and things of faith, I think all of these things are by design. I mean, I believe in a creator, designer, God who created things. And we recently visited a wolf sanctuary, you know, where they help. And they were telling how out in the West, I think Yellowstone, they wanted at one point in time, they wanted to get rid of the wolves because they were a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this mass exterminating the wolves. But guess what happened when they took out the wolves? The deer didn't run around because nothing was chasing them. So they ate all the vegetation, and then that led to all kinds of problems and, you know, erosion and flooding and mudslides and so forth, because they took out part of the whole, how it's designed to work.
Yeah.
And they removed it, something.
So are you telling me that God knows better than human?
That's, and government. Yes.
And government.
But it was great. And they weren't even telling this story like a faith thing at all, because then they're trying to reintroduce the wolves. But they realized it's all connected, all of these things. And, you know, what we eat, our bodies, our spiritual selves, our mental selves, our health, our physical, what we plant. I mean, it's all by design. And I think that's amazing.
That is amazing. And we see that over and over again.
Yes.
You know, that's why some of these farmers have gone back to the bio, what is that called? It's a whole different field where it's like agriculture.
Organic farming?
No, it's not organic, okay. But it goes further beyond that, where they recognize what the birds do. They recognize what each animal does for the overall growth and vegetation of the property. And so they work with that and within the realm of how it was designed. And they have much more successful farming practices doing that.
Well, that's our master gardener friend said to plant flowers. I said, I have all these bags in front of my house and these garden bags and buckets, and there's flowers and things around there. And she actually said, that's good to plant the flowers in amongst the vegetables because of the pollinators.
Yeah.
And that all helps. I saw someone, you know, my dad kept bees, had beehives. We need the bees. So when
Do you keep bees?
My dad did. I have extracted my share of honey over the...
Why don't you keep bees?
I don't want to do that. But my dad did. But you know what? If you're spraying all the chemicals on your yard, that can actually hurt the bees. And if we don't have the bees, we die like in weeks.
Right. And I heard the carpenter bees, even the big giant ones, actually still do like their part as well, even though we hate them.
You have to listen to our mutual friend Heather's pollinator presentation.
Yeah.
You'll appreciate all of these little flying things. Again, that they have this important part in the whole chain of how it works.
I will tell you, I do question the important part of spider sometimes, because I was driving down the road and I saw the spider crawling at my windshield. So I was super excited to spray it with water and get the windshield wipers going because it was huge. And then I did that and I realized it's on the inside of the car. I about freaked. I'm not going to lie.
I saw a picture. Some guy had a big snake. He lives near me and had a big snake. It got in the house. I would blow my house up. So he was like casually removing it from the house. I'd have to move.
Yeah, that's no go.
No.
So what can people do? Like, we're in a pretty serious situation when it comes to food. I think the first step is literally starting to grow something for yourself.
Well, I think even before that, be aware. And that's why we're mentioning all these topics, because there's so many people don't understand.
And if you have land for sale, don't sell it to the wrong people.
That's very true.
I mean, honestly, who cares if you're getting extra money? Think of your future generations that will be hurt by the sale of the land to China, to Bill Gates, to Ted Turner. Well, I don't even know anything about Turner, but you know.
But even this representative told me you have to be careful. People tie these up into these farmland trusts, and that's not necessarily good either, because then the government kind of owned you of what you can do with your own land. So you really have to be careful at every level.
Yeah. So as the government's offering you money for not farming your land or whatnot, there's also going to be issues with that, which we see.
So we covered a lot of stuff.
That was a lot.
Grow what you can, prepare and have your home well stocked, check out what charities you're giving to and how that all works. What else? Feed yourself. Food is medicine. And be aware of what's happening with farming. Support your local farmer.
Support your insects.
Yes. Don't accept those ugly spiders. Just step on those. And they're important, but I just can't. So, and support your local farmer. Yes. Buy the things that person next door is growing versus something that's shipped halfway across the world.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in all these things, wherever you are, however you can, stand up, step forward, and speak out.